What's up and welcome to the Invincibly Broken Podcast, a weekly talk show hosted by your boys, Orlando and Julian, talking about today's society, their family lives, and anything they damn well please. So sit back, relax, turn up the volume, and enjoy the show.
Anticipation kills me. There he is. That smiling face. I don't know what I would do without you. My life would be very interesting, needless to say.
Nice. Appreciate that.
Oh, you should appreciate it. I don't know if there's anybody else in this world that would say that other than your mama.
My wife, maybe?
Really, though?
Yeah.
Really?
This is true.
All right, man. So let's go ahead and kick this bad boy off. What's up and welcome to another episode of the Invincibly Broken Podcast. I am your host, Orlando, and joined always with this stunningly, amazingly looking guy with his glasses on, looking... I don't got words. You just look at yourself. Julian, say hello.
Oh. You know, you kind of got me off guard with all that compliments, but we have to bring up the fact that your skin.
What's wrong with my skin?
It looks like somebody airbrushed it with like magic and I mean, oh my goodness. You almost got that like side Walter Mercado look going like that with the cheekbones and...
Walter, con mucho, mucho amor.
You just gotta set up two cameras, go adios.
I don't know, man. I told you before we were talking about that, like I shaved and because I'm getting surgery on Friday, right? So we moved a regular schedule to today because I gotta get to bed early tomorrow, but I shaved today because I can't shave the night before. And I use some I don't shave very often. What's that called? It's like razor bumps, like a razor bump thing that my wife uses. And I don't know, man, I might have to start using it more often because
send me the product. I got to buy.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I shave every day.
I was in the sun almost all day. Maybe it's a little bit of combination of vitamin D hitting my face. That's bad.
Just how much D was hitting your face.
It wasn't a lot of D. Very little D. Very little D. Not too much, because that's too much could be too... I'm done. I don't even know why. I walked like right into that, too. Like, it was just like, hey, look, the door's open. Come on in.
With mouth wide open.
I'm done, man. Damn you. So, how are you, Julian?
I'm good.
I had D. You know. I got some D today, so I'm feeling great. How are you?
I mean, apparently, because you're glowing. You might be pregnant.
So. Calm down, bro. I'd rather someone tell me I got a dick to the face than tell me I'm going to have another kid right now. I ain't about that life.
Right?
I've been capped too. Dunzo. I know you just keep adding to the family, bro. You're just like, you know what? I need more of a challenge. Let me just get...
I've said it once. I've said it a million times, man. I'm just fertile. It's like on a Wi-Fi signal.
Don't ever get near me.
No. Don't ask for the Wi-Fi password.
The Wi-Fi password. So what are we talking about today, Julian?
I want to talk to you about something that actually, and we saw a lot of this, that contrast, that juxtaposition, if you will.
Man, using fancy words. I'm going to let you lead more often.
Okay. So, you know, both of us growing up, and I'm talking about like adolescence and all that, you know, everybody talks about the difference between being book smart and street smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've fallen.
Very, very popular. Very popular.
And I know I've actually, I think I've been on both sides of that spectrum growing up and now into adulthood. Just wanted to see what your take on that was and the take of the rest of the audience.
Okay. All right. Book smart versus street smart. That is a, that's a funny one. That's a good one though. Good. I like it. I like where you're, I like where your head is with this one. I will tell you before we start, there are a lot of stupid people in this world.
Yes.
Can we at least agree on that before we continue talking? Lots of dumb people.
Yes.
So regardless of whether...
a lot of them are educated, so...
A lot of them got that. There's a lot of dumb street smart people, too. There's some. So we could touch on a bunch of little different facets of between the two, because I think they're... It's not so easily put into a specific category. Like, you could definitely, like, half of a room and be like, street smart, common sense. Because you could say common sense. Like, let's not say street smart, because, yeah, we'll say common. Like, real world smart. Is that fair? Okay. Because, you know, because you see people say street smart, and they think like a thug or a guy who's been hustling or a woman who's been hustling their whole life and shit, making money and stuff like that. So, like, real world smart versus... books, right?
Okay. Common sense.
Right?
All right.
Probably we could throw street smart in there because, I mean, there are some things like, you know, like if you're walking in a really bad neighborhood, you walk with your head down, you look at your feet, you don't make eye contact, and you don't ask people why are they smoking marijuana on the corner. This is asking for trouble, right? Hey, are you guys going to pick up that litter that you just threw on the floor? No, you don't say shit like that. But anyway, so what? Okay, so let's start off this. Which are you, Julian?
At what point in life are we talking about? Are we talking about then versus now, or then and now? Because, like I said, I've walked.
All right, both. Let's go. Let's go then. Let's walk through that, because I feel like I fall into one category,
and that's because I've known you for a while. I think. I mean. I'll get to that.
So go ahead. Okay. So then and now.
Growing up, I was definitely book smart. Not a whole lot of common sense. Not a lot of street smarts, mainly because.
Really?
Mainly because since I was such an introvert.
Okay. And fair enough.
I didn't really go out a lot. So it's I grew up now, older, a lot of my street smarts were trial by fire. A lot of times maybe saying the wrong thing to the wrong person. But definitely growing up, I was...
Oh, shit. I said that with my outside voice.
Yeah. Or, I mean, in some situations might have been trial by fire that, you know, if I would have just kept poking the bear. But I was definitely very, very book smart. I mean, you're welcome.
Hey, sorry.
Tasted good, huh?
Yeah. It was all that vitamin D from earlier. So you were saying, why don't men mature ever?
Ever.
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 So you think you were more book smart when you, and it's funny because I obviously didn't know you when you were like that young, but. You also think it had anything to do, because you were born in another country. Do you think it had anything to do with kind of learning the ropes as you went through, or?
I don't know. I mean, back in the home country, I was a lot more street smart. Yeah, so I guess it could have been a little bit to do with that, because, you know, that was my element. I knew, you know, I knew how to play the good block, bad block, you know, game, you know.
Uh-huh.
We've all played that game. Come on now.
Yeah. I still play the game.
Of course. But then, you know, once I got taken out of that environment, brought to another environment, between having to learn a whole new language, blah, 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 you know, and the fact that I just very introverted, not the most people person out there, you know, I was just a very secluded growing up. Once I got into like high school, that's when things started changing for me a lot, because, like I said, my brother's senior year in high school was my freshman year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all his friends were already my friends. So I just
came out of that shell. You had, like, a catalyst. like getting
I was getting out of that shell, and then you know, that whole initiating, some people call hazing. So, you know, you tend to grow up a little bit more, and, you know, I learned to be not as quick with it, with my mouth and my words.
When it hurt?
When I had to.
Because it hurt?
Yeah. I took a few punches.
So let's talk through that, because I find that weird, because I don't find people usually... My experience is I don't find that people usually grow out of that. Like, if you are book smart and you lean book smart, I don't find many people. And you're right, through lessons they can, maybe like as they get into the real world and get a job or whatever. But even then, like, you still have like a lot of people that just don't figure it out, because they usually say, well, I learned it in this and, you know, whatever, you know, Spock says, do that. I always think about people who, like, when they talk about babies, like pregnancies and stuff like that. And like, I read 18 books about parenthood. I'm ready. No, you're not, asshole. Your first experience with bodily fluid and shit flying everywhere, you're just going to just burn the books. But
I guarantee you the author of that book probably doesn't even have kids.
Yeah, probably. So what do you think changed? Right. All right. So you said that you were hanging out with your brother's friends, but like, did that like, was it like maturity that came into play? Like, was it like a fight or flight survival type trigger that got you moving in the right direction?
On more than one occasion, yes. Because some people in our audience know who my brother is, mm-hmm. and know who all his friends were. Because mm-hmm. they were all our friends. And, you know, I got, you know, stomped on a regular basis because, you know, I was the young guy. You know, it was a pecking order. You know, it's kind of like a hierarchy thing. But, you know, with that also came actually not being so antisocial and going out with them, and then just kind of learning that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I want to say, man, because here's the thing. I don't want to say, because I know how immature we are, but it has to do more with exposure. Not the kind of exposure the audience is thinking. It's just... having new different things. Yeah.
Not getting exposed to the vitamin D.
Exactly. Well, yeah, that's what I was trying to avoid.
So what do you think? So like, I'm trying to formulate my thoughts. So where, like for me, I'm not a book smart person at all. Like, I have a hard time grasping knowledge like that. And when I say knowledge, like I'm horrible at math. We already know grammatically I'm a nightmare. You know, I wasn't an F student or an FD student, but I academically, I have to pound like whatever it is I'm studying to figure it out, right? I have to work a lot harder. So I would definitely not call myself a book smart person, but I like knowledge because it, you know what I mean? But like, to me, everything that I learn has to be applied. Okay, I learned this. How does this work in my real life? You know what I mean? Like, you telling me algebra, I still haven't figured out how algebra is going to work in my real life. Algebra's never helped me pay my bills. Algebra has never taught me how to build a swing set. Like, you know, it's never taught me how to change a diaper. Like, there's nothing that I've ever done. Like, that, you know what I mean? But, you know, I've also been always really good with people. I'm a talker. You know, I grew up in a not so nice neighborhood. You know, were we like dirt poor? No, but we were like, weren't middle class either. Like, we, you know, so it was kind of like, this is what we can afford. So, you know, we had to be, I had to navigate through shitty territory, like to go to school or, you know, or certain friends. And like, you know, I was super shy as a kid, but I always was smart enough to know, like, how much, like, who can I be friends with? You know what I mean? It's like that saying, like, you know, you keep your friends close, but you keep your enemies closer type deal. So, like, I've always been, like, more aware and stuff like that. So I guess that's where where you would say it's more street smart, you know? But, you know, I think it's a really, like, a, it's a fine, it's like almost, it's like, all right, so one of those, like, it's like a black and white type thing, like either you're one or the other, and then there's like a gray area where you get like some people who kind of mesh together.
Okay. I mean, I can agree. I can definitely agree with that. I mean, and again, going back to my experience, I mean, you know, my, I was definitely, I mean, I still think I'm very book smart. I mean, I'm not, I don't think like I'm a, you know, super freaking genius, but I'm also not a dumbass. I can grasp, you know, topics or subjects that, you know, most people won't really understand, and, or not most people, but people won't, you know, don't tend to grasp if it's something that it doesn't interest them. You know, I love that things with science, you know, I understand, like I've seen, okay. So I used to watch this show. Oh my God, I forgot the name of it. It was basically when,
that's not gonna help.
Is this show, hold on a second.
It's coming to you.
Anyway. But what it was is, like scientists, like actual scientists will break down viral YouTube videos.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got you. Oh, Mythbusters?
No, not Mythbusters. Something Acts of Science. Sure. Outrageous Acts of Science.
Oh, okay. All right. All
right. And they had like actual physicists and stuff like that. And they would break down, and I would understand it. Just when they start doing those mathematical equations, I'd be like, oh, it's a time to go to bed, right? Because, you know, I don't like math. But as far as the street smart and the common sense part, a lot of it came in more once I was on my own. I mean, once I left home, mm-hmm. you know, that I had to basically, I don't want to say survive, but my livelihood actually mm-hmm. dependent on me.
You can say and survive. Then, okay. Survive. Society.
And then also, like, even before that, like, when I was in the Army, you get street smart real quick, because you'll see a lot of people there that are super smart, super brilliant. And they're doing these jobs, you know, they're doing, like, these communication jobs, and, you know, they're all linguists and all that stuff. And you're like, wow, these guys are really smart. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, wow, how do you tie your fucking boots in the morning? You're a fucking dumbass, dude. What is going on here, man?
It's so funny. But I got distracted because I was reading Angie's comments. She says she was an astrophysicist major before physics. Finance. That's, you are, word. So, and then MK says she grew up in a sheltered Christian home, so common sense for most people didn't come easy, but I'm also not good at school, so I busted my butt to learn both. And that, you know, and I know MK, she's there. She's smart. And she got some, she's a little gullible at times, but definitely. But I can see that too, because a lot of Christian household really try to shelter their children from life experience. So when they do get out to the real world, they have hard times adjusting with anything, really, like relationships, through school, through work life and balance. So that's a really good point. I know some people that are like Bible thumping Christians that, you know, and I tell them all the time, like, don't you think you should have that conversation with them? Like, no.
Like, the Lord, it's funny. The Lord. And this goes with both male and female. So please don't at me. But I've noticed that a lot of, like, the children that grow up in very strict Christian homes, once they leave, the boundaries of that become this very weird hybrid, mega sluts, both the male and the female, because oh my God, bro. I knew I had a friend in elementary school, very Christian, you know, all that stuff. When I saw him in high school, I was like, oh dude.
That's hilarious. I don't think that's entirely true for everybody, but I know a couple. Like the Amish. Ooh, like the Amish.
Like the Amish. Hey, yeah. That they have, hold on a second.
They have a show too, don't they?
For Der Springer. Der Springer. That's like their spring break.
Is that really? Is that a real thing?
Yeah. So is they have a point. Yeah, yeah.
Amish
they
have spring break? Let's go.
Well, it's not like an Amish spring break. What they do is they allow the kids to leave, I think it's for like a period of a year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's basically kind of like that leap of faith that they will come back. But if the child doesn't come back,
I didn't know that.
They're like exiled completely. They can never come back.
And I thought this. I'm like picturing a bunch of Amish people in a foam party.
That's what
tell
happens.
Me where it is.
A lot of times, that's what happens.
You I'll know, be Zachariah, and you could be Jebediah, and we can hang out.
I have a friend who grew up in Amish country, and he told me, it was Dar Springa, something like that. And then he said, pretty awful when they released.
They don't even use electricity. Like they literally walking around oil lamps and it, whatever. I commend them that they can. That is. I don't know if I can reverse. Like, don't get me wrong. I like to disconnect. I can go camping and all that stuff.
Listen,
but I'm a hyper tech nerd. So
they see they use the first PlayStation. Next thing they know, they're doing lines off of midget's ass. They don't know what happened. They're killing hookers in the middle of the night, and you're just like, wow, okay.
Oh man. So you know, it's funny. You know, we talked about that the Christian households and stuff like that, but and being sheltered, but I do know a lot of people that are sheltered and their parents are, you know, not so much from the religion aspect, but the parents usually overprotective parents that really keep their kids with their thumb on them all the time, and they keep them from going out and going to parties, maybe, you know, those socializing environments. You know, you always want to protect your child, but you can't protect them too much. But then, you know, this is why I have a huge problem with today's education system and even the education system for the last like 25 years, because I don't think they really teach anything that is a real life standard, right?
What? Hispanic parents, just say it.
Oh, yeah. My mom didn't really. She was overprotective, but she didn't keep a thumb on me 24/7. You create this bubble for your children, and then they go through, you know, you tell them, you know, you got to go to high school, you got to go to college, and you got to be an astrophysicist, right? And you punch it in their heads that you need this education to get where you need to get to. Education equals money, right? And it's always impounded into the head. Education equals money. Education equals money. And, you know, we can sit here and debate that all day long that, you know, yeah, bachelor's degree is great. Like, you can do this, you can do that, but it does not equal money, right? Actually, education equals debt, hands down, right? Unless you come from a very wealthy family that could pay for what it is. And or you like vitamin D and get it for free. That could be an ad. Vitamin D, get it for free. Booyah. Anyway.
Join the military because you get a free education.
Yeah. Sorry. This is not sponsored by the military, so no free ads. Or you're really smart and you get a scholarship or sports or whatever, but still, but like you still come out of debt, right? And then you get into this world and you have this notion in your head that, all right, well, I got my education and I'm gonna get a job. And then you start. I've mentored and I've worked with these people before, and they're like, "Yeah, well, I remember interviewing someone, and I'm like, hey, this is the conversation. Hi, my name is Orlando. I'll be interviewing you today. And then I go through the spiel, like, hey, by the way, you know, you have reliable transportation. Can you work, you know, Monday through Friday? Blah blah blah. And before I even start, they'll stop and they'll be like, so how much did this job pay? And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, the salary range is XYZ. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. I just graduated from college. I thought this was at least $70,000 a year. And I'm like, no. Why would you think that this job would pay you $70,000 a year? And they're like, well, I have a college education. And I'm like, you know, and there's some specialized things that you can get into, right? Like you could become a doctor and then you make good money, right? I don't know how much they make, but you can make good money. But then they also have
eventually
they also have like $500,000 in compounding interest for their loans that they took out for their education. But there's like this what's the word I'm looking for? Like
misconception.
It's a misconception, but like this naivete, is that a word that I'm looking for? Like
naivete.
This,
yeah.
Yeah. Like I was trying to see. I'm not book smart. But you know, it's like they have this conception that they're going to get into the real world and they're going to succeed. And that's fine. You should tell yourself you're going to succeed, but there has to be a real life like counterpart to that. Like you have to treat your children like you have to raise them to understand that this you're going to eat a lot of shit before your shit turns into filet mignon.
This is true. I mean, and a lot of it does have to do with, you know, the fact that, I mean, I do that with my kids too. I'm not going to throw stones, but you know, you, as a parent, you want to tell your child that they can do anything they want, you know, that whatever they set their mind to, you can do it. But there has to come a time with some children that you have to be, you could do five things. I've narrowed that down to like five things.
You can do these five things really, really well.
Really, really well. But no, I mean, but even then, like I said, super intelligent kids or people, and not even kids, just people in general. Mm-hmm. Super intelligent, like super, you know, high IQ. A lot of them are pretty fucking worthless.
Oh, absolutely. Like literally, like I remember, I can't even tell you.
Check.
I mean, yeah, they're like, and then it's great. Like I used to always get a kick out of new hires because they're like, oh, I came up with this business plan and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's wonderful. And like, I'll take it and I'll put it on my desk. And they're like, are you going to read it? And I'm like, no, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to need you to pick up that phone over there. And I'm going to need you to make about 75 phone calls a day. And get rejected at least 74 times, and then we'll talk about it. The hardest part of the job is picking up the phone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then they're like, "What do you mean? I got to pick up a phone? Like, you got to talk to humans here. We got to have conversations. So, got to talk to people. And you know, it's like you got to teach them how to fish, right? And it's just always like, and honestly, it's like it's never. I've been in the professional workforce for 20 years. I got like 15 years of management, and nothing has changed at all. Like nothing. Like it's still the same thing. Kids are paying more money for an education, and they're coming into the workforce absolutely 100% cool.
It's surprising how piece of paper that is so expensive could be so worth it sometimes.
I'll tell you right now.
I mean, like I can say it now. I'm educated.
Yeah, I got my degree.
No, hold on. And but I bullshitted my way through all that.
Yeah, dude, I have my degree.
Did I retain any of that? No. I mean, I know what I'm talking about.
I know what I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing because it's what I do. It's in the field that I've been working at for almost the last 20 years. I just need a piece of paper from education of higher learning saying, yeah, I know what I'm talking about, other than the fact that I know what I'm talking about.
I used to get so frustrated because I would take these business classes and they're like, I remember we had to do like a cornerstone project in order to graduate. And I'm in this group and we're like, these kids are just talking. I'm the oldest one there. And they're like, oh, well, this is. And I'm like, guys, this like literally like just give me the part that you want me to do. Like this shit will never work in the real world. You're going to bring this to somebody and they're going to look at you like you're fucking crazy because I've never done this ever. You know, and they can do so much more instead of wasting people's time, instead of like having to take astrology 101. Or fucking calculus, whatever the high level for whatever, like teach them something else. Like teach them how to use online banking, how to sign in, how to choose a proper password for your social media, how not to post shitty pictures of yourself putting a Heineken bottle in a blow up doll and put it as your profile picture. Like, that is the type of shit that we should be teaching these young kids.
Go, when you go to the strip bar and spend $150, you do not tip the girl 100%.
Yes, you do not tip 100%. Like,
we're just throwing that example out there.
You gotta learn hard lessons sometime. That might be a fun lesson to learn, hurt later. But like, there's some of these things that they teach you, it's like, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Like, there's no reason for it. And then when you, like, something as simple as learning how to read a job description, right? Because if you understand the job description, maybe one day you can have the job that can write job descriptions and fix that hot mess of what a job description is. Because no job description, have you ever read a job description for like a sandwich artist at Subway? They make it sound pretty intense. Like, you're like, I don't know if I could spread that mayo on that bread like that. That's crazy, man. That's complicated. Let me go see what Starbucks is doing, you know? And like, I know, like, but like, it's true, man. Like some of these job descriptions, you would never know if you qualify. I think 90% of the people I talk to, and they want to find a new job or they want to go for a promotion, and they always tell me, I don't think I qualify. Why don't you think you're qualified? Because then they'll start reading it, and then I have to sit there and explain to them, well, you know, you've done X, Y, Z. Like, I've never done analytics before. And I'm like, okay, well, do you know how to read this report? Yes. Okay, if I asked you to sum this report and tell me what your total is for the last 12 months, do you know how to do it? Yes. Congratulations. You know analytics. But you know what I mean? Like, they just see like certain things just get confusing and stuff like that. So it's really weird because like you have the people who are really book smart who think they should be CEOs of company. Then you have people who are street smart or common sense smart.
And CEOs, they don't think they... and CEOs of company, which a lot of them didn't get their education until way
later. Yeah. You know, I think a life experience is
Sir Richard Branson.
Yeah.
He was a dropout. Example. Perfect. He was a dropout.
So I actually have a funny story about that. So I worked at a bank that will remain nameless. I used to work at a bank.
And are you going to tell us just 5/3 of the story?
Just 5/3 of the story. Okay. But I used to work for this bank and I got hired, and one of the job requirements for it was that you needed a college education, 4-year degree. Or 9 years equivalent experience. So I had the equivalent experience because I've been working since I was 18 years old. So I had to drop out. So everybody knows the backstory. I out of high school, I went right into college. I did exactly 2 years in college and I had to drop out because I was poor and almost homeless. So I had to get a real job. Like, I had to. Yeah, I had to eat, right? I didn't want to move back home with mom, so I had to do what I had to do. So I quit. I dropped out of college. I actually did 2.5 years because when I went back to finish my degree, I only had like 1.5 years to finish. But anyway, so we're in this big conference room, and you know, like, they have Corporate America likes to have those those feel good moments where we talk about life, and you tell me about your life, and then you tell me how it interprets into the corporate world, and try to be fucking kumbaya, and you know, everyone comes up with, and everybody says the same answer, and then they use words like, well, I'm going to piggyback on Julian and say blah 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 blah. I don't know if they do that in the military.
Let me caveat on that.
I would have punched you in the throat when you use words like that. Do you want to see me get triggered? I hate people. I hate when people do that. Anyway, so everybody's talking about, you know, like, accomplishments and what it takes to be like on top. And everybody was like talking, and they were like, you know, I think it's important. I have my college education because it prepared me for this. And everybody's talking about, you know, their alma mater. Some of these guys went to like UF and really high name universities that I don't know any of them. They probably have college football teams or whatever. And they're going on and on and on. And then they started joking around about not hiring people with college educations. And they were just like, well, I didn't hire that guy because he graduated high school and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he seemed like he knew what he was doing. He had a lot of history, but he didn't graduate college because he couldn't find the level of commitment to finish university. And I was like, So, you know, they, so then finally it came to me and they asked me, like, yeah, what do you think? Where did you go to school, Orlando? And I was like, I dropped out of college. And everybody laughed. And I was just serious because they thought I was joking. And I was like, no, I literally dropped out of college. And they were like, are you kidding me? Then some dick face in the back of the room's like, well, how the hell did you get this job? And I was like, because I'm really good at what I do. And I was like, if you're worried about commitment, and one of the person who made the joke about not hiring somebody was actually pretty high up there in the company. And I was like, I don't know what has more commitment, whether I want to be committed to drown myself in debt or if I want to be committed into being able to afford, you know, Vienna sausages and ramen noodles for lunch so I could eat and keep a roof over my head. And they were like, literally, oh, and all of it, you know, of course, and all that white guy backtracking started. Well, you know,
they went straight into human resources.
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, well, you know, I didn't really mean, you know, there's a lot of good talent out there. And I'm like, shut the fuck up, guys. Like, literally, like, you know, you got caught with your pants down. And, you know, it's stupid things to say about things like that. Like, look, now I have a ton of student loan debt because I finished my education, but I'm also smart enough to know at this point that, you know, well, I'm going to be 40 in July. I have about 20 years of proven success underneath my belt. I'm a hell of a good employee, and whatever I touch turns to gold when I work. Like, I'm a good, like, I put all my heart and soul into my career, and I'm good at what I do. But I'm also smart enough to know that there's going to be a younger version of Orlando coming out soon. And they'll pay that younger version less money to do all that grunt work. And, you know, if I don't have, so I got the piece of paper just to check that box when I'm looking for new work. Like, hey, yes, I do. And I cheated my way through the whole thing. kidding. I did not. maybe that algebra 2 class that I could have passed that bucket test.
Course hero. That's $14 I ever spent.
Yeah. Of course. Let's see. Angie said, every time I took a look at my $110,000 in student loan debt, I want to slit my own wrist. I don't even want to finish reading that. But, and Cocotazo says, you were always a hustler. Respect. Yeah. Thank you. Blasphemy for the Bravos. Hey, man, I'm a baseball fan first. I got my Yankee cap over here. Let's switch it up. For the real fans. There we go. But yeah, man, but I think so getting back to it, like, I think actually Chris brings up a good point about the hustle. Do you think you could teach somebody to hustle, or is that that is embedded into your DNA?
I think that's kind of embedded.
You don't think you can, like, that's a characteristic that can be
I think you could teach work ethic.
Okay, fair enough. I think so too.
But I don't think a hustle is to hustle is more of a mindset, and it's more like who's hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very hard thing to teach.
And I don't disagree with you. I think it's definitely a mindset that
I mean, because if you're in that, I mean, I had a manager one time, very long time ago. This is a job that I had in high school. It was a sales job, and he would tell me, he goes, listen, the secret to this job is you got to think that person walking in the store, he's got my money in his pocket, and go from there.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you know, I think it's an embedded, I think all of us have the hustle in us, right? And I think it's almost like an activation. Right, I think it is embedded into your DNA, and I think it's something that you can't. You can't change it. Okay. But
everybody, like, there's hustle in everybody, but there's only those that are, or willing to, or want to, or just on a regular basis tap into it. Because there's people that they're in a spot. Okay, mm-hmm. So now I got to hustle. But if you're the type of person that hustles on a regular basis, you're not going to be on the spot.
I hate that guy. That guy that like when they get in trouble, all of a sudden they're a rock star for like 2 weeks. Like they do enough just to get you off their back, and then they go back into that bullshit mode. Hate that guy. waste of life. I'd rather have a guy that 100% is an even teal employee than or human than that guy who just puts flash in the pan, whatever. But what I'm saying is, I think it's something that can be activated through events in life, right? Because I've seen it firsthand. Like, you know, like, you know, maybe like I like, okay, so I have a really good friend who was pregnant.
So hold on a second. So before we go on to this, because I think we just kind of got off topic.
Okay,
a
little bit. Go ahead.
So let's talk about hustle, though. Let's talk about hustle. Do you think hustle comes more from being book smart or from being street smart?
Honestly, I don't think it comes from anything. Like, I really think it's something that you're born with. Like, it's something that's inside of you. I think that your education, whether it's book smart or street smart, it literally is something that is can be activated within you. Like, right? Like, so, right? So, regardless of whether you're... And the hustle, and then hustle also has goal orientation as well, right? So, you know, if you're book smart, right, some people will be like, I want to go to Harvard because my grandfather went to Harvard, so I'm going to go to Harvard. And then they get that, put it in their mind, and they do everything and anything to, yeah, you got to give them credit. Like, it's not easy to pass those things. So, you know, they do everything they possibly can to get to where they need to be. But then you got people that are born in the ashes that have nothing. And, you know, I mean, look, you got hip hop artists, you got actors and actresses, you have got people like maybe like myself that come from nothing and their parents work so hard to try to give them just a piece of it. And, you know, they took that and they took that seed that the parents planted for them and they could continue to cultivate that and they did whatever they can to get to where they need to be. It looks like most of the audience seems to agree with that, is that it takes both. But yeah, I think it's, I don't think it's, I don't think either one excels at it. So maybe you might want to say the motivations might be different, right? Like if you got a guy who doesn't want to disappoint his family because he needs to go to an Ivy League school, that's a different type of motivation. But then you have somebody who doesn't want to sling crack for the rest of his life and wants to get out of the hood. They have a different type of motivation. That makes sense? Are we just nonverbal cues?
It makes sense. Because, I mean, I wasn't going to go with the whole smoking crack thing, but just like you said, somebody who's trying to get to that education, that goal, Harvard or an Ivy League school, it is no more different than somebody who is homeless on the street and they're hustling just to get that next meal.
Yeah.
The motivation. Yeah. And I mean, that's their hustle.
So, and what I was saying earlier is I knew a woman, a lady, that she was a young woman, that, you know, she really didn't take life very seriously. She was always partying and whatever the case would be. And she ended up getting pregnant she wasn't that young. I mean, she was like 23, 24. And like, literally that like changed her life. Like it happened. And instead of like wallowing in it and stuff like that, like she went back to school, she finished her nursing degree, she worked like two or three jobs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if you would ask me who that person was before that happened, I literally would have been like, no, she's lucky she's pretty because she's probably going to starve to death.
All right. So, I mean, I understand where you're going with that one, but I think that one, that particular case was brought on by a catalyst. She had she had a very significant emotional event happen to her, mm-hmm. which drove her there, which yes, that ergo, everybody, we all have that hustle in, and maybe some people are a little bit later of being mm-hmm. able to tap into it, activate it. But I mean, guess she wasn't that street smart.
Huh? Who?
I guess she wasn't that street smart.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it just depends on what it is. I mean, like, look, we've all had life events, right? Like, I mean,
and here I am talking with like 1,000 kids. You know, I mean, so like, consider the source, everybody.
So, like, for instance, like, you know, throughout my career, and I don't know about you, Julian, because I know that like, we have two different career paths, and you know, I come from a corporate background and you were in the military for a while. Like I have worked with a lot of people that I saw a shit ton of potential in. Shit ton of potential. And a lot of it was because they rely, and a lot of it, like I have an eye to see that desire, that burning desire, like, you know, that level of talent that I think someone has, and then everybody else thinks that they're going to fail, right? Because their personality doesn't fit, like, a mold. And I've always been like, well, let's find, instead of trying to, like, put a round peg into a square hole, let's see how we can complement this individual. And how do we bring their assets to the team, right? Like, they have to have something. Like, they eat, breathe like the rest of us. I also think it's hard. That's what the point I'm trying to make. It's, I think it's difficult for sometimes for people to get or make it in certain environments, because people have this, like, cookie cutter profile that they think everybody should fit in, right? And, you know, I worked heavily in sales environments or goal-oriented environments, and everyone was like, oh, everyone's like, you get those people like the top. Always talk about the top. And what a lot of people don't know is the top is it's like the top 10% of your peers. And then you have a bottom 10% of the idiots who can't do anything, and they usually don't last. But then everywhere else, you have, like, the middle, you know? And sometimes those middle people, they hustle just to get mediocre results. And I respect them for that, because they're showing up and they're doing a good job. And I don't disagree with you, but what I'm saying, I think I just want to outline that everybody's hustle and everybody's goals are also different. But, you know, is it like that in the military? Do you have, like, they want everyone to be the same or achieve, like, the same level of greatness?
It depends. Okay, so, here we go.
Can you answer that?
No. I can't answer that. Okay, so, I'm just trying to, like, get rid of all the jargon and make it as easy. All right, so, when you're talking about, like, sergeants and above,
mm-hmm.
okay, you know, we get evaluated every year, okay? And you have what's called a rater and a senior rater and a reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your rater, who's usually your first-line supervisor. They say, okay, this is what I think of this person. Use the form and blah, 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 blah. Then your senior rater, they're the ones that say, okay, for example, it's what they call that they enumerate and stratify you, which is they say, like, out of six, you know, E5s that I senior rate, this person is two of six.
Gotcha.
See what I'm saying?
So they put, like, statistical value to
right. Uh-huh. But the thing is, everybody's fighting for that top lock, but the way that we evaluate is that senior rater can only give that top lock to 24%.
Interesting.
So you have two that are neck and neck, but not both of those can get the top lock. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yes, do they want us to work? Yeah. I mean, it's an incentive for somebody to work hard, but it has a fail safe because back in the day, everybody used to get, yeah, you're great. You're one of one. And everybody was fine with that. But how can you be number one when you're rating like 10 people? How can you be number one?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, that's a weird grade scale.
So that's how it used to be. So they changed it. So now if you really want that top lock, you really have to fight for it.
Yeah. And that is weird. I'm like trying to wrap my head around it. We'll have to offline that conversation, yeah, for sure.
That was one of those.
So, like, for me, like, right, as a talent evaluator, like, when I'm evaluating talent and
it depends, Angie.
It does depend, Angie, for sure. Angie asks if is it hard to get promoted in the military? I think there's a lot of different pieces that.
We could have an entire episode just on that.
Anyway, but as a talent evaluator, when I look at people, right? So when I get a resume in front of me, I don't look at what college you went to. I don't look at how many years you've been in the workforce. I don't look at anything, right? I kind of skim it over. I kind of get an idea of what we are, where you are, and stuff like that. And then basically, like, I just start having a conversation, because to me, the number one thing is soft skill. right? Got to be able to talk. Can you have a conversation? Can you say yes, no? Can you say thank you? You say please? Are you calling me sir? Not that I want you to call me sir, but like, do you have a decorum of respect that you're willing to show someone else that you don't know? You know, those are the type of things that are more important to me. And, you know, and then you can learn a lot about the level of intelligence somebody has simply by just having a conversation. So it's definitely something that I think that goes underrated, right? And, you know, Chris just said personality sells. And Orlando, what exactly do you do? I missed the episode if you ever mentioned it. I'm not going to tell you what company I work for, but I am, I'm in marketing and outreach and, you know, in the medical field. So you could just call it over glorified sales. I do a lot of talking, presentations, large contracted, high volume, whatever those key words are. But yeah, you know, and granted, you don't need soft skills for a lot of different jobs, right? Like if you're an introvert and you do data entry, but still, I still think that you need to have like those, you know, big soft skills are dying, you know, especially yes. In the age of social media where people don't have real interactions with humans. Like I can't tell you, like I know people on social media and I've met them in person and they are nothing like they are in social media. Like you would think they're like super outgoing and love to have conversations, but it's almost like having an avatar. Social media, you know, gives you, it's like The Sims, right? Like you kind of get to be whatever you want to be. Like you can be outgoing, you could be, you know, you can say whatever you want. And then, but when you're in the real world,
it's your surrogate.
Yeah, it's like a surrogate. It's funny. It's like, I find it oddly fascinating, like when I meet people in person, and because I'm already like, you know me, I already like to talk. I'm the life of the party. Like, let's go. You know, I always say on the podcast, right? Like, what you see is what you get. Like, there's no difference in what I do or what I say. And then when I meet somebody else, and I'm like, oh, this person's probably gonna be a blast, blah blah blah. And I'm like,
you're right. Dog shit.
You need to have a drink, have some tequila, rip a line of coke. Like, what gets you moving? I'm always this quirky,
yes.
But
no change whatsoever.
But you know, I always find it funny. So like, I think like when you're like that for me, when evaluating and talking to people, like I try to dissect that bullshit. You know what I mean? Like we can look at all your academia and we can look at projects you've worked on and we can look at analytics and numbers, but I want to know who you are. And I want to know if I could trust you to make decisions. Okay.
So with that being said, as talent acquisition, uh-huh. Do you value book smart versus street smart, or do you value street smart? Let's not say street smart. Let's say common sense.
Common sense all day, because I think you could teach anybody a technical aspect of a job. I mean, that is a perfect example. You know what? There's a listener listening right now, MK, that we used to work together, and she came into the industry not knowing dick from a donut about what we did, right? Sorry that I had to put it that way, but you know, there's two things. But didn't know anything about the industry, but you know, I think that they made a good choice in hiring her because she had an amazing personality. She was this sweet little Southern, you know, girl that, you know, everybody liked. Like if you talk to her, you like her. You know what I mean? Like, and I think to me, that's more important. Dick from a donut. It's a thing. I promise.
So now she knows dick. But,
yeah, she knows dick. Obviously, because she has baby number two on the way. So, you know, it's one of those things. Wow. Where we're all day. Bang, bang. On fire.
I think it's expressed by Orlando Freisey do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Invincibly Broken podcast. It's insidious.
She knows who I am. She knows how I am. It's no different. It is what it is. But anyway, so, you know, yeah, no, I think common sense, because you could teach technical aspect to anything, right? All day long. I'm apparently on the roll. People are loving the comment show. But
That's right up there with.
Yeah. What?
Time release gay, I guess. I don't know.
But anyway, so yeah, so, you know, I think you can teach technical to anybody. Like, it doesn't matter the field. You need to be able to have conversations. You need to be able to force relationships. You need to be able to know how to take an L, right? Because that's something that a lot of people don't know how to do. They succeed. The education system is set up to, you know, give you success and not teach you how to take a hard no, because everyone always wants to be like, oh, don't, but you'll get them next time, Tiger. No, you need to get them fucking now. And then if you take that L, then you take it and then you go and you try to do it again. And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, it takes a lot to learn how to take a loss. Like, a lot of people don't know how to do that whatsoever. But, you know, it's something that I don't care. Like, you don't have to have experience. I don't need you to talk technical jargon to me, because I've been in the tech industry for years. And when people start using acronyms and using fancy words, I'm like, yo, pump the brakes, homie. Like, where are we at? Let's see. Jay Olivio says, first 30 to 45 seconds tells a lot about a person. Sometimes the most untalented, unqualified people seem amazing at first. Very true. Very true. I judge a book by its cover. You got two minutes to impress me.
Communism looked great on paper.
Everything looks great on paper. But, you know, I mean, like, I always... You know, I always find that phrase funny when they're
and that's why I have a perfect charcoal rendering of my dick and balls on paper, because it's great.
this thing looks huge. I think it's the black and white that throws.
It's just the first 30 to 45 seconds. That's
that's all you need. Just gotta, that's all you need. Smoke and mirrors. Bro. This dude, This dude said BBM and AIM are as tech as he gets. That's a problem, bro. You need to get into the. If you're still using a number two pencil with an eraser on it, it's time to get moving.
Check out this new tech. It's called a Sidekick.
Oh yeah, or the clicky pencil. Click 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 click. It never goes away. Oh man! Oh, I lost my train of thought, as always.
Yeah, common sense.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's a, I only joke.
Mm-hmm.
He's erasing his AOL email as we speak. but anyway, so yeah, so I think it's, I think it's important. Common sense is it plays a part, but I think you know, it's, if you're able to understand and grasp the technicalities of a job, then I think that's important also, like, right? But I think it could be taught, like you said, like we talked about, like the hustle there, like, do you have that drive? And you could take my mentality my mentality and my thought process out of, you know, marketing and sales, and you could put that anywhere, really, because I mean, you really can't I don't want anybody half-assing a job. Do you want somebody half-assing the house that you build? No, right? Like, you want a surgeon to half-ass your colonoscopy? No, you know,
you gotta bring that up,
you know. But you know, I think
she whole-assed my colonoscopy, but I'm just
she got it all in there.
Got it all in there. Up in there.
But you know, and also someone just mentioned that common sense is not common among people. And I disagree with that. I think that a lot of people have common sense, but I think a lot of people's common sense, I think a lot of people don't. Let me back that up. So I think common sense is common, right? But I think people are also clouded by other people's common sense or other people's opinion, especially now, right? You know, if you look at social media, like, okay, when you read something and you see something on social media, you might simply say, well, it's common sense, that's not true. But the fact of the matter is that this is the new normal. Like, you know, this is where we can say that education is the way to go, because if you're smart enough to know that you shouldn't believe everything you read, right? Or, you know, or if your Aunt Sally said X, But, you know, some of these people, like, they value opinions. I'm sure there's somebody out there that has listened to one of our podcasts and has taken something that we said literally. Like, MK's probably Googling dick and donuts right now, wanting to make sure that to like, what does this mean? What does he mean by that? But, but you know what I mean? Like, but I think it's something that's out there. I just think a lot of it's also lessons in life.
I think everybody has the ability of common sense. What some people are lacking is the capacity for it.
Yeah. Well, actually, MK made a really good point. She said, some people see common sense and can confuse it with wisdom. Some common sense is learned through experience and can't be taught. And that's very true. Actually, that's an excellent point. You know, I still don't retract my dick and donut comment, but that is very true, because I think with age and as time goes on, you get more wiser, right? Like, you and I have talked about this plenty of times. Like, we wish we knew what we knew now, and you put me in my 10-year-old body and 10 years ago, and what would I do differently? You know what I'm saying? You know, and it's something that you can't fault somebody for being naive, but you could teach them. And or what they do with that L, if they take that L, that loss, and they turn it into a lesson, you know what I mean? Like, how can I learn from this? And I think that can't be just taught to anybody. When I'm as old as you, very fun. It was an old joke. Whatever. I am like fine wine, sister.
I'm
telling you, I'm milk. Gonna be the Richard Gere of podcasting. True story.
Pretty soon they're gonna put me in a darkened booth.
It's just gonna be me on top and the black screen for Julian, or we'll use an emoji.
Yeah, exactly.
Can we change our heads, like our faces, on here?
Can you do that? Just put a picture of me younger and then just have like the little
I can do this whole, bro. I am so upset. That looks good.
That is a molestache. That's good.
Screenshot.
Now you can say, my name is Inigo Montoya.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
My father.
Prepare to die. This is great. Okay. I'm going to finish the podcast like this. Anyway. So another listener wrote, an environment is a lot of times determines the level of common sense. Sometimes a parent is an effort to protect kids, to shade them from real world experiences. And that's true. We actually talked about that earlier in the podcast. Creepy Orlando is back.
Never looked more Mexican.
I do. I do right now. I look super Hispanic. I'm going to take this down because I'm literally giving myself a headache. All right, there we go. But yeah, so we did talk about that. We did talk about that earlier, and you're right. I think it's a victim of environment. It has a lot to do with everything. Environment. I think as a human, as a person, you need to be as open minded as possible to try to conform to your environment. And when, I don't want to say conform. Conform is a poor word. Learn from the environment that you're in. Right? Nacho. I did look like him, didn't I? I did look like him. I wish there was a way to take these comments and somehow transcribe them into, like, when we put the podcast in the audio form. That's why I always try to read them out. But I feel like I don't do them any justice. But yeah. So it's like I said, man. I think it's something that, you know, if you're a parent, right, and you have young children, I think you should expose them to as much as possible, right? And talk to them about things, and then, you know, kind of let them formulate their own opinion and let them fall a couple times, you know, be there to support them if they can't get back up. But, you know, I think it's important that you learn. And I think that's the only way you're really going to get that wisdom at a young age, because I don't really think it's a common sense thing. You know, now that I really thought about what MK said, like, I, you know, it's definitely it's how mature and how wise you are going into your life. You know, I'm not going to use the word mature with me, but I'm wise enough to know, you know, my own personal worth, the worth of others, the level of respect I have to have with certain individuals, how much I can say and get away with things, you know, but those are all things that I've learned over time. Like, you know, I don't take that for granted. I think that's one of my best.
So you mean you didn't learn that in college? Say it ain't so.
I didn't learn dick from donut in college. How's that sound? No, I didn't learn shit in college. I really didn't. I have a couple of classes that I remember.
Was that a study group also?
Huh? That was the dick and donuts? Too? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dick donuts and sprinkles. What was the name of the group? But yeah, man, if I ever find my way in Vegas, we will definitely hook up and I will tell you, bro. We will have a chit chat for sure. I might actually be in Vegas in December. But
I think somebody asked a little while before I forget. Oh yeah, same person. I was in the Army, by the way.
Oh, they asked for your branch. Yeah. Right. Sorry. Sometimes it's hard for us to keep track of when everything comes through. But yeah, so let's see. Chris just said the outside world is the best internship anyone can have. I shelter my kids to some things, but I want them to be able to stand on their own. Absolutely. You're absolutely true. That's good. You want them to stand alone. You want to like, don't get me wrong. Like, I know I know that I'm the same way. Like, I try to pick and choose what I shelter my kids from. You know, I want them to have as many of experiences as they possibly can have. But, you know, it's difficult waters to navigate as a parent, wherever you want to, you know, you want the best for your kids and what are you going to do? Right. Like, you want them to have the best. I think I lost Julian. I don't know where he is, but, with that being said, it looks like we're having some technical difficulty. Let's see. Oh, he's coming back. Everybody hang tight. He's coming.
All right, that was weird.
Yeah, you just dropped off. You were like, see you later. Julian's back, guys. Julian's back. I was about to end it. But anyway, with that being said, I think it's a good stopping point.
I think
point.
We're at a good stopping point, right, good when I got back.
I feel like we can go on for another like 2 or 3 hours about that. Awkward. Julian's back. We're gone. But anyway. That's not as creepy as. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this bad boy out with creepy Orlando. This is great. It doesn't even move. It even twitches. Look.
Dude, you look like Super Mario. Like,
it's me, Mario.
Okay, no. Stop.
Anyway, Nacho is back in the building. Maybe they could do like an alternate personality on these. Do the voice too. The Mario voice? Anyway, no voices. I don't do voices. I'm horrible with impersonation. So guys, thank you so much for joining us live. If you didn't catch the whole thing, just between that mustache and dick and donuts, I'm going to have nightmares. I am so glad that I can bring joy into people's lives in what we do here, man. This is exactly what I wanted this podcast to be. And yes, Julian is my Luigi forever.
Although Orlando is taller than.
Yeah, but you're like Robin. I'm the best.
Yeah.
Anyway. So thank you guys for listening. We greatly appreciate it. If you didn't catch the whole episode, we publish this episode on regular podcasting. So wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, we are there. Check us out. And give us a like, share with your friends, let them know about us. We greatly appreciate it. If you want to keep up with the boys from Invincibly Broken, you can check us out on our website, www.invinciblybroken.com, or you can search us on social media on Instagram at invincibly_broken, or you could join us on our Facebook page just by simply searching Invincibly Broken Podcast. If you want to follow me personally on social media, jump on Instagram and look me up. It's invincibly_Orlando.
The wet mustache weighing you down because you were like bubbling with it.
No, I like
enjoying it that much. Yeah. Or you can follow me personally at invincibly_Julian. And yes, Orlando is taller.
And I have better hair. Oh, bro, I look like Antonio Banderas, son.
No, actually, right now you look like Freddie Mercury. I mean,
oh, I can't, man. I'm done. I love the mustache. I'm going to grow one for you guys. I'm like petting it like it's really there. Listen, guys, we should have this
last dude, take that thing off, bro.
Absolutely not. The last PSA, we should be going ahead with regular scheduling moving forward. I have surgery on Friday, so as God willing, everything goes well, we should be good to go, and we'll be recording again live either Wednesday or Thursday. What are we talking about next week, Julian? You want to tell them, or do we not know?
Do we not know? We'll keep that.
Mysteries of life.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll find a new filter to use that's not this mustache.
How did you get that mustache?
Bro, son, first off, let me tell you. I'm the coolest motherfucker.
I mean, I want the mustache.
Why you gotta be like me? Be Luigi. And don't worry about Eric. That's perfect. That's some clown shit right there. Anyway, this podcast is officially over, guys. Thank you for watching.
This show stinks.
Take it easy. Good night. Till next week. Peace.